NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff discovers his grim powers of perception as the third season of this NBC show gets underway.
I come to the television series Grimm late, as it is now in its third season, and I had not seen any episodes prior to this fall. As my wife is an English professor who specializes in studying folklore's influence on literature, this may be a bit surprising. After checking out a few episodes and perusing the Grimm wiki, I think this is a show worth catching up on, and there are pieces useful for sparking classroom conversation about biology, chemistry, and physics. Grimm is set in Portland, Oregon, and focuses on police detective Nick Burkhart and his partner Hank Griffin. In the pilot episode, Nick begins to see things no one else can. He catches brief glimpses of monstrous features on people who otherwise appear normal. First, he sees a woman walking down the street, and then a suspect being interviewed at the police precinct. On the same day, the remains of a red-hooded jocker are found in a local park, and Nick's librarian aunt appears on his doorstep. She reveals to Nick that he is a descendant of the Brothers Grimm, a lineage that comes with certain powers and responsibility.
The misfortune of our family is already passing to you.
What are you talking about?
You are one of the last Grimms.
Fundamentally, the creatures described in fairy tales are real, and as a group are known as Vaisen. Vaisen have a range of special powers, including superhuman strength, very sensitive noses, and the ability to breathe underwater with some of them. While Nick, as a Grimm, can see what Vaisen really look like, other humans are unable to recognize them. Many Vaisen are unobtrusive and live peacefully among the general populace, while others are violent and very dangerous. The pilot episode focuses on a Blutbad, German for bloodbath, the Vaisen at the core of the stories of the Big Bad Wolf. Notice the jogger who was attacked at the start of the episode was wearing a red hooded sweatshirt. As the pilot episode ends, viewers are in the same position as Nick. We have just begun to understand that there is a parallel society of Vaisen living among humans, and it is the responsibility of the Grimm to protect humans from dangerous Vaisen. Setting the show in Portland allows for a wide range of habitats to be populated by the Vaisen. The Columbia River, one of the largest rivers in North America, runs through Portland and forms the border between Oregon and Washington. This is an ideal habitat for aquatic Vaisen, like naiads. Portland is also close to significant stretches of temperate rainforest. These dark, damp forests are used frequently in the X-Files and again provide a spooky backdrop for Grimm's Vaisen. Finally, the urban center of Portland is an ideal habitat for those who thrive in densely populated areas, the mouse-like and insect-like Vaisen. A recent episode focuses on a community of naiads, mermaid-like Vaisen who have gills to breathe underwater and can swim very, very fast.
Some kind of mermaid?
Luring men in for the ultimate bait and switch.
What are we talking? A Loch Ness monster?
Naiads have to live near water, as their skin will dry out and they will die of dehydration if unable to enter the water every 24 to 36 hours. When transformed into their naiad form, they have webbed hands and feet, in addition to gills on their neck. Naiad qualities appear to be a combination of amphibian, requiring moisture, and piscine, having gills and capable of swimming swiftly. Questions of chemistry and physiology come up for me when I consider a human-like creature breathing with gills. How much oxygen is dissolved in water compared with the amount in the air? Based on that, how much water would have to pass over gills to get enough oxygen? And then, how large would those gills have to be to obtain enough oxygen for a human-sized creature to survive? Check out the online and print versions of this column for my answers to those questions. I was also curious about how fast naiads can swim. Their webbed hands and feet would certainly make them more efficient swimmers than people. We have to keep our fingers close together to cup and push against the water, while webbing would enable hands and feet to push with a larger paddle. Adding the increased strength that most Vaisen seem to have, I could imagine a naiad might be able to double or even triple the swimming speed of a human over a short distance. I looked up the world record for the 50-meter freestyle. It's about 20 seconds, so the average speed of a swimmer on that pace would be about 2.5 meters per second. If we imagine that a naiad could triple that speed and travel at 7.5 meters per second, she would cover the 50 meters in less than 7 seconds. Wow, that's fast. Even so, it looks to me like they depicted the naiads moving even faster than that in the show, and that just doesn't seem possible. Biology, chemistry, and even physics teachers can take advantage of Vaisan characteristics in Grimm to discuss adaptations, physiology, and kinematics.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.